Welcome to Hashtime with Navguzi Chiwanuka. This is a place where we help you unravel social constructs, discuss self-development in line with mental health, emotional well-being, and everything in between that directly or indirectly affects us in the millennial world around us. If you're hearing my voice for the first time and are the kind of person who is not scared of being a better version of yourself, even if it requires you to contradict who you were 24 hours ago, consider this your virtual home. I'm your host, Navguzi Chiwanuka, and I cannot wait to engage with you in the various conversations. So today is Valentine's Day, and I think this is a very, very, very fast conversation dedicated to love. We recognize, or I recognize, the fact that love does have a correlation with our mental health. And what we did yesterday, that is the day before today, what we did on the eve of Valentine's is that we had a conversation with Dr. Dennis Agaba, our resident psychiatrist. Yay, overgirl. And we had some people that joined in on the conversation live. They contributed, and you will be hearing their voices and contributions. So without further ado, let us get into what happened yesterday. Dennis, you're welcome. Oh, you've come with your face on. Yeah, I'm using a desktop. My face can't show unless I log in with my phone.
You're the boss here. Do you want me to hide?
All of us are bosses. Yeah. Whatever works for you. If you wish to be with the video on, it's all right.
Okay.
So I was actually trying to send you some of the questions that came in earlier. About the topic or discussion of today. See this?
An interesting topic. A very interesting topic.
Hey, and I've been avoiding it. I've noticed I've been avoiding things related to love on the podcast. But this time, Valentine's falls on Wednesday, so there is no way how I can pretend. I don't want to first enter a relationship and I start smearing people with unsolicited advice.
You can run, but you can't hide. It caught up with you.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
So let me share these with you on your WhatsApp. And then if any other comes in, I'll be sharing them here, I think. Did you get them? Have you gotten them?
Yes. Ah, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So yesterday I was actually having a conversation with Catherine, and then I was like, oh my God, I do not remember what exactly I told the doctor. Like, I do remember what the conversation had to be about, that is love and relationships, but I don't remember the context in which I came in. I was like, oh my God, what did I tell him? Oh my God. So I don't know if you have an idea. Do you remember what I may have stated before I introduce things? What is that?
Precisely that. I mean, the whole concept of Valentine's and how love and relationships have an interplay with our mental health, and how best we can navigate these waters and still keep our mind healthy.
Right. So for the people that
use more words than those, but that's what I think.
I chatter a lot.
So
for anyone that might not have an idea of who you are, please introduce yourself, because I think maybe some people have not listened to any of your episodes in which you have featured. So please introduce yourself so that at least we get to know whom we have on board.
I thought you were going to introduce me, but well.
Banang.
I am a psychiatrist.
Dr. Agaba is the only psychiatrist that has been on the podcast so far. And incidentally, there was a time, because I think there was a time when I was looking for you, and I met you once, and then I was like, but where am I going to see this guy again? And then I was walking down the aisle. Aisle is not, not only for the wedding.
Not at all.
Okay. It's my... So I was walking down the aisle going for Holy Communion, and I'm like, that is the doctor. I have to wait for him after Mass. So we kind of go to the same church, kind of, because it's not, I don't always go there. But yes, he's the first psychiatrist on the podcast, and we have him here. He's always open to give us time. And today we are going to
become the resident psychiatrist at this rate.
Obugalo. I'm definitely buying into that. So if there are any other introductions that I may have missed out, which church was not important, but yeah, just to show off. You can introduce yourself in case I have left out anything, and then we get into the conversation.
You really say it all. Mm-hmm. I'm a psychiatrist. I am a big, I like to call myself a student of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate about mental health and helping people to understand mental health. We are in what I call an illiteracy when it comes to mental health in our environment, in our culture. We don't quite understand what mental health actually is about. People like to say so many things, most of which are not very true. So I think it's important that more and more people get to understand what mental health is all about, and that's my mission, to try and spread the gospel as far and as wide as I can. Right. And I am always excited to have this hashtag where we can actually be able to do that.
Thank you so much for that. So someone, when I told someone that we're going to have a conversation on love-related topics, the question that he asked is, does love always have to be painful? And I was like, and now I don't know if when you take on the psychiatry classes, you guys, I don't know, do you ever talk about the concept of love? Is it something that you ever talk about?
We do. We definitely do. It's one of those things that if you've studied the mind, you're definitely going to have to come across.
Mm-hmm.
I want to begin by just making it known that the mind is primarily responsible for three things. The three things that we primarily attribute to the function of the mind. And that's how we think, how we feel,
mm-hmm.
and how we behave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our thoughts, our feelings, our behavior, or to put it in a more technical term, cognition, emotion, action. Those are the things that the mind is responsible for. And so you can see that the realm of emotions is 100% the mind. Much as we like to call it being heartbroken.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, it's being mind broken.
That's the thing. I remembered it today and I was like, wait, but this guy said it's not the heart that is broken. How? I'm feeling it in my chest. How you're saying it's the mind?
But your heart just pumps blood, really. That's all. The seat of the emotions is in the mind. And so, speaking about anything to do with the emotions, you're technically speaking about the mind. And so definitely things to do with love have to feature for anyone who's studying, interacting with, treating the mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now someone gets to ask that question, does love always have to be painful? What is, I don't know, do we start from there?
I feel like that's throwing us all the way in the deep end.
What does a healthy relationship look like?
So a healthy relationship, let me speak about healthy emotions.
Healthy emotion.
Because we have to understand, and maybe that's one of the things that we need to clarify, is we often expect that when we speak about emotions, there's like good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not very accurate. It's not so much good and bad, but it's rather normal range. Okay, so we are all naturally going to be fluctuating within a normal range of both positive and negative spectrums of feeling. Okay, so happiness and sadness, right? So we all have to pretty much dance within what we call a normal range. I'll give an example of your temperature, right? Mm-hmm. Your temperature is not going to be one fixed temperature. It keeps fluctuating. And there's a normal range within which it should. Now, the issue gets to a point where it starts to either go very high or very low. And that's when we start to get concerned. And so some people think that when we speak about emotions, I should always be happy, 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 happy. Or I should always be smiling, smiling and laughing all the time. And that's not actually very healthy to speak in a particular sense. If someone is always elated, always happy, always excited, Monday to Monday, you know, 24/7, then that's actually not normal. That's not very healthy. Right. But we have to ideally go through a normal range of both positive and negative emotions as a result of our day-to-day interactions. And that's very normal. That's very healthy. It's normal to be happy. It's normal to be sad. It's normal to be disappointed. But the question is, to what magnitude, to what degree? And then the other question is, you know, to what, how are we able to get out of it? Okay. So it's not so much that I shouldn't feel sad, but okay, how do I get back to that particular pattern without either dipping too low or without going all the way too high? And once we understand that it's okay, it's healthy to be disappointed, I'll start there. It's healthy to also be happy. It's healthy to have disagreements. It's healthy to feel sad, to be angry about something, to be unhappy about something, and to be happy about something. Each of those things in and of itself is not necessarily wrong. But it then goes to, okay, now that we are in this particular state, one, what are we going to do about it? How do we deal with it? How do we get back on our feet? Okay, think about it like walking. You know, when we land, you know, we fall and we get up. It's not so much the fall that's a problem. It's, do you stay down or do you get up? Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it a fall that breaks your leg or is it one that, you know, so let's look at it in that particular aspect. That's what we call a healthy relationship. A healthy emotional state is one that really fits within that range of no more highs and no more lows, and no more highs and no more lows, and just keeps balancing between those two consistently.
Right. I find it important that you have come to the point where you get to describe the different spectrum, or the whole spectrum of emotions, instead of just leaning in towards one. You realize that there are some people, especially the men, where they're like, women are emotional. And then you have to tell them, hey, we are all emotional beings.
Yes.
When you look at...
emotional. If you have a mind, you're emotional.
When you look at the way how you guys handle soccer.
You guys, hey, okay.
Yes. Okay. When we look at how people react when Manchester loses or Arsenal wins, they are all emotions. But how we deal with them is the problem.
Yeah,
where we go on the extremes, that's where the problem is. And I like the fact that you have come to a place where you get to talk about that part. Now, how do we cater to these questions that came in? Now, I think we get to ask, how do relationships affect our mental well-being in everyday life? That might be a great start.
Cool. What I had planned was to probably just give a bit of an overview. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of things that I just sort of prepared myself, just think about the topic. And then maybe from that point, we can tackle the questions.
Let's go with that.
If you prefer that we do the questions directly, or we just get some basics and then we get to the questions.
Let's get with what you had come with that. For us.
Okay, great. Because I think you find that what we're going to talk about will probably answer some of the questions.
Exactly.
And have a background into some of the questions.
Sure.
Okay. Very good. So once we understand that we are all emotional beings, that part of our mind is designed for that particular purpose, and then we understand that there's going to be it's ideally supposed to be within a particular normal range. Both the good and not good, both the highs and the lows are very normal and very healthy in that particular sense. To then also just say that man is a social being. We have been designed to live in communities. We've been designed to relate with people in different ways and different forms. So we feed off people. It's important that we are always interacting with people. Ever since the beginning of time, we've always found that man has lived in communities. So we are not built to be alone. Man is not a lone wolf, if I could put it that way. Yeah, so it's important that we relate. And all the studies we've done clearly have always indicated that having a healthy relationship is very protective to your mental well-being. Yeah, by far, being living in a community, having a spouse, is going to be protective to your mental health. And the reverse is true, that people who live alone, people who are widowed, for example, or divorced, tend to have worse mental health outcomes. You know, they are more at risk to develop depression, anxiety, and the whole spectrum of the different illnesses of the mind. So it's very helpful for us to actually relate. It's essential that we relate. It's essential that we have friendships, that we eventually also pair up because that's necessary for the continuity of the species, that males and females are going to be attracted to each other and they're going to bond. This is a very natural, biological, very healthy process that we're supposed to actually bond. And these two are supposed to, the concept of companionship, be able to unite for two things, particularly from a biological perspective, for two things, to be able to support and complement each other, and then eventually, produce, nurture, and raise offspring. So that is also very biologically healthy, I would say. So all of us, that's why we find that we have, that attraction to people, and we want to get to know people, we want to relate with people, we want to bond with people and connect with people. That's also very healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's something that comes instinctually to us. So it's important to realize that the concept of relationship is something that is really inherent in who we are. It's not a foreign concept, if I could put it that way. Now, the question then comes to, because of course, being that you have two people, so two minds that have to relate and have to come together, there's a lot of room for conflict. There's a lot of room for, misunderstanding each other. And that's what then makes this particular relationship unhealthy. The idea is that the two have to be on the same page. That nice phrase that it takes two to tango. Mm-hmm. And so for a relationship to be healthy, for these two people, individuals, that have to come together to then sort of create a oneness around them, it's important that they too have similar ideas or are actually able to be on the same page. And that's where communication comes in. The key route to a healthy relationship, a healthy emotional state, is communication. Because what's in my mind is in my mind until when I actually open up and share it with the other person.
Yeah.
And what's in their mind is in their mind up until the time when they open their mouth and share it with me. I can't really read minds. Very good if we could, but unfortunately we can't. So communication has to be, is part and parcel of the possibility of us forming and maintaining this relationship. And really that's the root of a healthy relationship, that it's important that I am able to understand you and you're able to understand me. And then together we're able to sort of create something that is working for the both of us. Okay. And so it's important that from the get-go, now, just to say, once we are starting a relationship, it's important from the very beginning that we both have the right idea of what we're getting into. What we tend to see a lot more is that if we don't have if we have conflicting ideas, so if you have a different mindset from what I have, then it's going to be very difficult for us to create something that is healthy for the both of us, right? If I'm pulling left and you're pulling right, mm-hmm. automatically that rope is going to snap, which is a lot of what causes the problem most of the time, is that we're not really on the same page. And that's going to cause a lot of pain, because if I have particular expectations and anticipations, and those expectations and anticipations are not met, then that's where the disappointment comes from, and a lot of where a lot of the pain comes from. So it's important that we're able to communicate, and once we communicate, then it allows us to have the grounds to work towards this particular goal. So, sorry, to start with, we both need to have the same idea of what it is we're getting into and what it is we're trying to build. The one thing about a relationship is it's something that is supposed to grow. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a meeting. We have to be able to sort of go back and forth about it over a given period of time. When we meet, it's done. We go separate ways. But if we're going to be in a relationship, that means we're going to have to, in a sense, journey towards a particular destination. It's important that from the get-go, we know where we're going, and we're both committed to working towards building that relationship. If we do and we communicate, and that means that, yes, I'll probably have something wrong at a particular point in time, and I'll be able to correct it, and you'll be unhappy about something. Remember, like we say, the emotions are very normal for us to go up and down. Mm-hmm. So if I go up and I communicate it, and that's good. If I go down, I communicate it to find a solution. We go up, we go down, and we are able to work through each of those points. Then we will have a healthy relationship. Then things go very well. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, then that relates into a lot of pain, because now we are pulling apart of each other, right? And we are not on the same page. And once we are not on the same page, then things start to go downwards.
And you speak on the part of where we have to communicate what we have in our minds. And I remembered the many posts that guys make where they're like, I don't know why women think we're just supposed to be resident in their minds to know what's going on in there.
Sure.
Because there's a time when I was with my cousin brother, and I think that's really hilarious. I was seated with him, and then he got a text from his woman. I don't know what he had told her, but then her response was, you really have the audacity to text me like this, yet I'm angry with you. We were just fighting. And then my cousin is like, wait. So I asked him, what's happening? And he was like, she said we were fighting. I'm trying to remember the fight, and I don't remember it.
Thank you. So someone thinks we're in a fight. The other one thinks all is well.
Yeah. He had to scroll back to check the messages, and he could have was like, I don't remember what happened.
True. It happens all the time.
But is it?
It happens all the time, yeah.
But then when you talk about that part, it almost feels like there are some people who just ignore things and tend to forget. There are some people that just do not invest themselves in what is currently happening. And then the other person stays in a certain environment themselves without the other person investing themselves. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, so that's very true. So again, it starts with the beginning. Mm-hmm. I've interacted with a couple of people, and usually the question of what are we comes somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And the question I'm thinking is, what have you been doing this whole time? Yeah. what was going on here? And typically that question is asked when it now becomes very clear that we are not on the same page. Yeah.
Right.
One person is either way ahead of the other, or the other is holding back for one reason or the other. And that's where problems tend to begin. I feel like it's important that from the very beginning, from the get-go, we have a good idea of what it is that we are trying to do and why. And once we are at that level, once we both have the same understanding of it, it then gives rise for us to continuously keep working on this thing that we both know. So what tends to happen many times is that, you know, I have this perspective of what it is we are up to. You have a totally different perspective. And because now this is my idea, I'm working on it, but it's my idea alone, you know, and the other person is, of course, not working on it because they don't have that particular idea. And that's where you find that, you know, we then find ourselves sort of worlds apart from each other. Yet the idea is we should be getting as closer to one another as we should be. And that goes back down to the communication, yeah? Because if I am thinking that we are at this level and I've not communicated it, then, you know, how does this person either work towards that? Do they even want to get to that particular level? Or for them, are they comfortable where they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's where the problem sort of really began. From the very beginning, we are not on the same page. And then we rush forward. One party rushes forward. I don't want to stereotypically say it's the women who go forward, because I've been in situations where the men are the ones who are rushing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that varies, right? So it depends. So I think it's important. Really, the root of it is from the very beginning, we are all on different footing. And that's difficult, because then I don't communicate where I am, but I have expectations, right? I expect you to act to what I think, but you're not thinking that same way, so you're not going to act that way, and so we're going to have a fight, you know? Right? So me, I know we are fighting. You do not know that we are fighting. I'm going to act as if we are fighting. You're going to act the total opposite, and then we're going to... Then the fight actually breaks out.
Right.
Okay? Now, the fight is, how do you not know that we are fighting? And I'm asking, what do you mean we are fighting? Again, that just shows you that we are not on the same page.
Not on the same wavelength.
Yeah. That's the root of a lot of the pain. That's the root of a lot of the frustration mm-hmm. that comes. And that leads then to a very unhealthy, you know, mind in the context of these relationships.
Yeah. Before we go forward, are there any questions from the people with us? Melvin, do you have something that you would love to ask or share?
No, not yet.
Not yet. We're good. Natsita, anything? Catherine?
Hi, Agaba.
Hello.
Hi, so it's Agaba, I'm sorry, Agaba. I spoke to a friend whose name is Agaba, and it's been stuck in my mind ever since then. And now I'm feeling like it's so unfair because no one is letting you see their faces. What? Hello.
Hello.
This is nice to see you. I totally agree with, you know, communication being a huge factor in relationships. I've been thinking heavily on this. It's like there are people that are avoidant and there are people that are anxious attached. I've been reading a lot on this. And when Nabucodonosor mentioned that there's going to be a love conversation today, I was like, ooh, I'm jumping in. But so the avoidant is this personality of a person, which mostly is with men, where they feel like I'm masculine. There's, I cannot communicate to you. You need to read the room. If I want to talk to you, I will talk to you. If I don't want to talk to you, I'm going to walk away or go watch football with my friends. And if you find yourself in a dynamic way in a relationship with someone who has a difficult time communicating where they are standing, how do you advise someone to approach that?
A very good question, Catherine. And thank you for joining me in this conversation. I feel like it makes a lot of sense.
Should we leave? Is that what you're insinuating? Should we leave you too?
These guys who are hiding themselves, but it's okay. You mentioned something that's very, very good when you talk about the avoidant personalities or traits or attachment styles. Now, you're crossing over into what I would call pathology. Okay, we are not designed to be avoidant. We are designed to communicate. But because of the experiences that we've gone through, it leaves a mark. Okay, So people who are avoidant are people who've, from very way back, been, I don't want to use this as a very big word, but I'll just say traumatized in their attempts to actually communicate, okay? I mean, the adage of once bitten, twice shy stands true in this particular sense. So if I've been, if I've tried to communicate and my hand has been slapped a couple of times, I'm going to hold back, okay? And that's going to be harder for me to communicate. We speak about it from the masculine perspective. Again, this is not universal, but happens quite a bit in this part of the world. You know, boys have always been told, don't cry, you know? Don't complain, be a man, suck it up, take it in, from when they are very little, right? Crying is a form of communication. It's a form of me letting you know what's going on in my mind. So if from a young age, you've been telling me, don't, that draws me inwards, which is not healthy to start with. And so it's important that now we've gone into the realm of deeper mental health issues, right? Which I was trying to avoid. I thought this was just going to be about love and like. But that's something to understand. So from the get-go, I would say if you recognize that this is someone who is avoidant, someone who's not ready to actually communicate, who finds it difficult to communicate, that person needs help. Because that relationship is always going to be difficult until we understand why they are avoidant and help them to work through what that is. Their mind is not able to express emotion. Like I've mentioned, emotion is part and parcel of who we are. If I'm not able to express that in a healthy way, then I already have an issue. I don't want to say illness, but an issue that must be addressed before I can get into a healthy, an emotionally healthy relationship. Okay? So that's not for you, Catherine. That's for that person to fix. They need to get help and have that fixed, because if they don't, and you're never going to know what's going on their side, then you're always going to have lots of clashes and lots of fights.
Right. So, in, you know, hypothetically, I know that getting therapeutic help is very expensive in Uganda and everywhere in general, really. My therapist is so expensive. But I'm grateful that I'm able to vent to a therapist. I was telling Navuguzi this on our session a while ago. But do you also think that in the environment in which a person is in currently as an individual, not being able to communicate, not just with the trauma of what may have happened in their childhood or in their past or previous relationships. I think a huge part of it is there's a big lack of empathy. There's high expectations that you meet people perfectly. I was telling a friend who went through a heartbreak maybe 2 years ago, and she's met this brilliant person that is totally in love with her. And she's like, no, I'm not ready. I don't trust men. And it's like, if you don't allow yourself to be loved while you're feeling broken and to experience and feel all those emotions, then when will you fully know? I don't believe in the theory that you get fully healed and then get loved. It's, you can fall in love when you're learning to heal. And now I feel like I'm taking it away from Navuguzi, so I'm going to stop talking.
I don't see her complaining.
I'm not complaining. We open the stage for you to interact.
You've mentioned very many interesting things. And yeah, maybe just to add on that particular point, you know, the best way for you to heal is by being loved, actually, not the reverse. The problem also, because part of our culture is we want to present ourselves as perfect.
Right.
We expect that I have to be 100% all the time, which is not healthy, actually. Mm-hmm. Like I said, health is in that up and about, right? I'm not going to be 100% of the time. No. If you are 100% of the time, you're not okay. If I could just put it that way.
Right.
And so I don't have to be perfect. And if I'm hurting, then that is actually when I need to be loved. I actually need to have that support of someone who I can communicate my pains to. I can communicate what it is I'm struggling with to, and that's what's going to help me to actually be able to get better. Yeah, that's part of how I actually become well again. Yeah, but again, so it's really important that we have the capacity to let ourselves be ourselves in these relationships. We always come out expecting to be perfect. We also come out expecting the other person to be perfect a lot of the time, which is not human. Human beings are not perfect. They're not meant to be, okay? We are a work in progress. So we're going to have good days and we're going to have bad days. And that's part of who we are. That spectrum in which we dance is what defines us, and not the concept of I have to be 100% perfect, or I have to be, no flaws at all. And that's also another big problem. You know, we come in expecting that this person has to be perfect, perfect, perfect. And also many times we hold back to let our imperfect side be known. Okay. I see this a lot of the time, when people come to talk about relationships, when I've had a chance to do a bit of couples therapy, and a lot of the time, you know, each couple points out the flaws of the other person, you know, no one ever reflects on themselves. You know, they somehow expect that they're perfect, and you know, then want the other person to, they expect that person to be perfect, to be 100%, which is never going to be the case. We all have our flaws. We are continuously growing, continuously changing. It's important that we can communicate that. You know, it's something that we don't do very well, and that causes a lot of pain right from the get-go. You know, so it's important that we communicate not only the good, but the bad as well, or the not so good as well. Yeah.
You've mentioned, I like the fact that Catherine has brought out the aspect of avoidant, and I don't remember the other one. Kiran is what?
Anxious.
Yes. Oh my God.
The avoidant attachment, there's anxious, then there's the securely attached.
Yes, that part. Mm-hmm. And okay. I don't think you've pointed out the differences of the avoidant actions and the secure bit. But then now that Catherine mentioned the bit of the avoidant, it drew me to the point where we see women being advised not to peer into men's failures or things like that. That if he's struggling with something, don't come in to help. It will emasculate him. And you're like, but now if I know the solution, there's actually a time when I helped someone, and then he came back and told me, he was like, that solution you gave me was really helpful. I was not relating with him. But then he was like, but never make that mistake again. Next time you'll tell a man you're in a relationship with and he'll stop giving you money for Kameza because you have shown that you are wise. And therefore you can sort things yourself. But then it brings me to the side of the independence in relationships, because if women are being advised to let men be on their own and just wait for when the man can allow the woman in their lives, how does this really work? How does this independence thing work? We also go to the question of, can someone really be independent in a relationship? Like, I feel like there are two different questions, but I'm assuming you know where I'm coming from with them.
I know where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
At least I believe I do. But I'll just say a few things around that. We have to understand, just to go back to what I mentioned earlier, that man is a social being. We are designed to relate, to commune. We are not designed to be independent. We're not designed to be loners. We're not designed for me, myself, and I. That's not who we are designed to be. And the more we enforce that I do me, you do you, the more we distort what it is we are meant to be. And that causes a lot of distraught. Okay. And I say this on a very general basis. In the context of a relationship, it's important that we actually give of ourselves and receive of the other. So if there is a lot of independence, if I just to use your word, if there's a lot of me and a lot of you mm-hmm. in a relationship, it's not going to work. It's going to cause a lot of conflict.
Right.
There has to be a lot more of the we. The we, which is neither me and neither you, but now this amalgamation of the two of us. That's the goal that we should be working towards. I have to be trying as much as possible to let myself be known as I also get to know the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what allows us to actually grow. There is, again, our culture and our society has tweaked things in many ways. Some, in our current context, not very helpful. Many of them are actually very unhelpful and unhealthy. You know, the context of I should be, you know, at all times, and I am the man, no one says anything to me, no one ever helps me. In that case, then, that means I don't need to relate with this other person, which defeats the purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we are meant to be supportive of each other, I mean, if we go back to the beginning of time, right? From what we know about the Bible is man and woman were meant to be together, to be companions. To be a companion is you journey together, right? Not I will call you when I need you kind of situation. No, it's we are moving together through everything that happens. You know, from a psychological perspective, I should be able to in any and everything share what it is that I am going through and I have and to also be able to understand what's going on your side. That's what helps for us to actually fuse to bond. That's what strengthens the bond, is that thing that we share in between the two of us, which it means I have to put something, you know, as much as I put there and you, as much as you put there. And once we put that together, then we create this one thing that's called the we. So the more there is independence, the more there is me and you, the less there is a we.
All right, and then the part of, I think, interdependence or codependency.
Well, I think the idea is that we're supposed to be codependent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I depend on you, you depend on me.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the ideal situation. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Of course, to understand also that, yes, there is a difference between the masculine and the feminine perspective, even psychologically, but that's meant to be a complementarity, right? That the two, in a sense, fit right into where they need to be for the other. Yeah. So we're supposed to complement each other. We are not the same. And that difference is so that, you know, it sort of fits right in. If you keep them apart, then it's dysfunctional.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to unlearn many things that our society has taught us, many of which actually weren't there in the beginning. Probably things that came up along the way that don't quite apply. And maybe they're not meant to be universally applied. Sometimes we are trying to, you know, take it away from where it's supposed to be. And that's probably where it then yields into a lot of pain and a lot of negative outcomes.
Right. There is this other question. Can you talk about the importance of self-love in the context of relationships? I don't know if you said somewhere in the beginning that you can't give what you don't have. You may have mentioned something like that.
It's important. Self-love is very important. Because remember, I don't know you. You don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be able to communicate to you what love looks like in my perspective. So I need to know how to love myself so that I can teach you how to love me. And you need to know how to love yourself so that you can teach me how to love you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important to have a bit of self-love, because if I walk into a room, or let's say if I come from Ankole, and if I came to Uganda, and these people don't have a language, I will teach them my language. Yeah?
Right. I mean,
if they have a language that they speak, and I have a language that they speak, then I have to learn their language, they have to teach me. I have to teach them my language, they teach me their language. Yeah. If they don't have anything, I'm more likely going to impose what I have on them. And so that's why it's important that you know, in your, by loving yourself, you know how you can communicate to this person how they need to love you. I don't know if that comes out right.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does make sense.
Yes, that's really the importance of self-love. And it's important that I know how love is felt, what love means to me, because then I'm able to communicate that to the other person so that they know how to love me. And then the reverse is true. Because many times what happens is that I tend to know how to love based on my perspective, okay? And then if I don't understand how you want to be loved, I'm going to do things my way. And that may not necessarily be what works for you.
Yeah, that's very important to highlight.
Okay? I can't dream it up. It's not until you tell me that, or you see, I like my tea with honey and not sugar. If I don't know, I'll put sugar all the time. If you tell me, no, I prefer honey, then I now know that, oh, if I'm making you tea, I need to put honey in it. Then yeah. I learn. That's the only way I'll learn how to love you.
Mm-hmm.
The way you need to be loved.
Yeah. I like that you've mentioned those examples, because there's someone that claimed to love me. And the very first time I got to meet him, he was like, I need to start sending you flowers. And I was like, I don't like flowers.
Thank you.
And then he was like, you have to get them if you love me. I was like, hey, no, I don't. And then even years go by, we meet, and he's like, I need to get you flowers. And you're like, and I still say the same thing. And he goes like, you know, you need to get into your feminine something, something. And I was like, my friend, what are you talking?
We could look at that from two perspectives, actually.
Tell me.
So, whereas I'll first and say there is no universal standard for love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is in our minds that we are most unique. We are very different in the minds. No two men are the same, no two women are the same.
Right.
We are very, very unique. There might be similarities, but ultimately we are very unique. And that's why it's in that communication that I get to learn you, to understand you, and you also get to learn me and understand me. And so if in the process of you understanding this friend of yours, if you then begin to understand that his manifestation of love is through sending flowers, if he's doing it genuinely,
mm-hmm.
then in a sense, I start to understand that, okay, so because remember, I also can't come into a relationship, you know, with just me, and I'm trying to impose myself and everything. It has to be a give and take kind of situation, right? So much as I don't love flowers, but I begin to recognize that flowers means you love me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I won't immediately take offense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Also, if I've taken time to understand and to know you,
mm-hmm.
I will understand that what you're trying to communicate is that you actually love me. And having understood that, I then have to communicate to you that, yes, I've received your message, but and I appreciate it, I recognize it, but nonetheless, that doesn't work for me. And then gradually, as like I said, it's a journey. It's not going to be perfect from day one or day two, no. And that's why typically we see that people who've managed to do a long time together tend to be happiest, because in that time they've got to learn many things and they've improved in how they love. You see many old people, it seems like they have a kind of telepathic communication, like, you know, he sort of understands right away what she needs and she understands what he needs. But that didn't happen overnight. They've lived together. They've communicated over time, and they've definitely improved. If you speak to people who've been together 10, 15 years, the way they are relating in year 15 will not be the way they were relating in year one or year two.
Right.
Because they've learned over time what are the things that make her happy and what are the things that make him happy. And we've gone on editing, so to speak, what that is supposed to be as we go forward. That's what a healthy relationship looks like. It's one that ideally has done the time.
Right, right, right. And it's I like the fact that you've mentioned the part where you emphasize that you communicate. Someone might have their way of expressing love and it just doesn't work for the other person. And I think this is where the love languages come in.
True.
And then you find yourself in a position, like I mentioned earlier, you find your position where you have communicated and this person is going to the extreme of dictating that you should act like a woman and accept the flowers. Like, my friend.
That's horribly wrong.
So while we were having the conversation, I don't think I got the chance to welcome Kisa Emmanuel, Aliyah Patricia, and the most newest is Champeire Doreen. Welcome to our conversation. We are talking about love and mental health. I don't know if it should be looked at as the last question, which sounds sad for the people that have just come in. Can we talk about empathy in building healthy relationships?
Empathy, you see.
Mm-hmm. I think it should be the second last one so that we don't feel like we are just, some people have come in when you're saying goodbye. The very last one should be, when do we get to realize that we need therapy as a couple?
Okay, so I was just Googling empathy.
Oh, okay.
So that I am able to give, and I think the definition will help us understand how it plays a role. So the Oxford Dictionary says that empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another.
Right.
The ability to understand and share the feelings of another.
Mm-hmm.
Need I say any more?
Perhaps you have to.
So empathy is very key. It's going to be the heart of a healthy relationship because I need to share and understand the emotions of the person I'm relating with. It's important. And see, I cannot be empathetic with you if you don't communicate because first and foremost, I don't share what you feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I care enough, then I should be interested in understanding how you're feeling. Coming to a point where I can share that with you brings us to the oneness. So empathy is key because it's going to unite us. It's going to bring us together where we, and that's the ideal sense should be at the point where we have the same emotion. If we get to a point where we clearly share each other's emotions, then we're very healthy emotionally, irrespective of what that emotion is, be it the happiness, we should be happy together, we should be sad together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what love is supposed to look like, that we are one, we are together, we commune emotionally.
Right.
Yeah. So it's at the heart of a healthy relationship is that I should know what you feel and I should share it.
Mm-hmm.
And you should know what I feel and you should share it. So that's going to be at the heart of any healthy relationship.
Right. Now, I know you've mentioned all the bits that would highlight or suggest a healthy relationship, but then let us narrow it down to how or what the signs might be that would suggest that it is best that we seek a professional intervention in our relationship challenges? Before we even get to that, do Ugandans, as someone who is practicing, are Ugandans coming to you with their relationship problems?
Well, more and more people are coming for help, that I must say. It's definitely increasing. It's definitely getting better,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that's very, very good. Of course, I tend to see more severe cases coming in.
Severe?
Where we're now talking about disease, okay? And not everyone mm-hmm. is going to be ill and sick to need medical intervention, to need a psychiatrist intervention, you know? We are like the very last line of defense, right? So I shouldn't be seeing most people.
Right.
But again, it's good to see that more people are aware and people are seeking to come and be able to find it. So one, I would say, how do you know that I need to seek help? Okay. So if you find that you are on the extremes of emotion chronically, right? So I'm either too sad, too unhappy all the time. Okay. We are unhappy all the time. So we are fighting all the time, you know, or true, we don't fight at all. We have no disagreements. We are happy, happy, happy.
That also requires us to seek help?
That I can assure you.
Oh my God. It's like we're looking for problems there.
Because, go back, it's bound to be, you know, natural up and down.
Right.
That's where we're supposed to be, you know. I like that sign of the heartbeat. The heartbeat is not up, up, up all the time. No, it's, you know, you have to have that natural beat, the natural rhythm. It shouldn't be on either extreme. It has to be within. So if I am sad all the time, if I am happy all the time, you're hiding something.
Yeah.
Or you're being avoidant. Or you're not actually relating. Because it will not happen that two people, I mean, even with our brothers and sisters, we fight. Even
That's
with people
true.
That, twins, we will not always be happy.
Right.
Even if we were born on the same day and shared the womb for 9 months. How do you expect that you're going to meet a total stranger and suddenly you're happy all the time, nonstop? There's a problem, ultimately.
Right.
Or you're not being honest. Yeah? So that's the first thing. That's usually what I would, that would flag it. And the two is if you're not able to, if you're not communicating well. You know, now going back into people who are being avoidant, people who are being very anxious, if you find that you can't actually be yourself, you have something that's holding you back, that could also be a sign that there's some underlying issues that need to be dealt with. It would be best to seek help. If you can't be, you can't communicate well, and you've tried to, and it's not seemingly getting there, then there's need for you to seek help. On that particular film. The last, which is the one that I think would show that things are very extreme, is if your emotional state in this relationship begins to affect your life even outside the relationship. So if it begins to affect your work, it begins to affect your other friendships, it begins to affect your studies or things in that line, then that means you need help.
Right. Thank you so much for that. And then you mentioned the part where sometimes people come to you as the last resort, and it has brought me to the realization that there is a possibility of someone being in a relationship with someone who is struggling mentally and they don't know how to handle that. I don't think we can have a full hour's conversation as an independent episode. So you can touch a bit on that. And also where we're talking about seeking help, I feel like there are some people that might be wondering, so where do we find the help? So we can conclude with that and call it a day.
Oh, or an evening.
Evening, sorry.
What I can say, and that happens a lot of the time, and that's the beauty with a relationship, yeah? Because like I mentioned, for a relationship to be healthy, I get to know you, you get to know me,
mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, it's the people that know us that will be able to pick it up when we are not well mentally. Yeah? Almost, I think, about 70% of the time, people who come to see me are not coming on their own accord, but it's rather a friend or a loved one who has noticed that they are unwell or they've changed in their personal behavior, and therefore they are the ones that sort of insist, I think you need to get help. You know, I've noticed there's been a change in your behavior, or there's a change in the way that you are, you know, thinking and acting, and therefore you need to get help. So it's important that as we relate, we try to get to know these people honestly. Mm-hmm. We try to, you know, understand who they are, and that will allow us to recognize, you know, some of the flaws that even they don't see themselves. And if you notice that this person is not, you know, is their emotions seem to be, because like I said, the mind, you know, thoughts, feelings, and behavior, the way they talk about things, their perspective on life seems to have skewed from what I know to be normal. Okay, so someone who's always been very optimistic suddenly becomes very pessimistic, suddenly thinks like life is not worth living, wants to kill themselves, you know, doesn't want to, you know, try out things, has lost interest in what has been pleasurable in their life, you know, is always, you know, getting irritable in terms of their emotions. They are swinging in their moods. They are acting in ways that they haven't been acting before. And that person probably needs help. And so it's important to help that person get help. Because you're close to them, you have a chance to actually see them when they take off the veil. You know, nowadays we live in this world with, you know, veiled, yeah? We have all these filters that we apply to ourselves. And so the person closest to you oftentimes is the one who sees what's underneath that veil and underneath that filter, and is in the best place to recognize when things start to take a downward turn. And at that point, they need to be able to help and you know, help you to seek help.
Right.
So it's important that we, you know, be our partner's keeper in that sense, keep an eye out on things. And if we recognize that things are getting south, then help them to reach out and seek the help that they need. Where do we get help? The government provides these services in Botavica, in Mulago, at the Bosa Mental Clinic, but also a good number of other private facilities are now beginning to offer psychiatric services. So the help is steadily becoming more available, and you should be able to get help in any of these different places.
All right. Thank you so much. I had shared a message in the... Oh, Melvin has a hand up here. Melvin, you can unmute yourself.
Thank you very much. Can you confirm if you can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Thank you. Now, thank you very much, Doctor. We're having a very good conversation, a conversation that we usually have in our conversations, you know, more profound. And I think it's very...
What is chimeza, guys?
Because we have a board, we usually have these conversations.
Yeah.
But in kind of informal way. But it's very important when these discussions are had in such formal settings, and we try to understand. I've shared on my accounts on Twitter and WhatsApp, and people are really, really excited, but it was ending. I remembered late. I hope we can have these discussions again, probably in future. People love this topic.
Oh, the conversation is going to be published so they can catch the episode tomorrow.
Oh, interesting. This is
Valentine's. Amazing. You guys should also send me flowers. Give me money. I don't want flowers. Give me money.
Thank you so much for this. I would like to comment a lot more about self-awareness, which also will connect to self-love, which we hinted on in the conversation earlier. Self-awareness is very, very important because it allows us to understand our needs, to understand how our emotions work. Self-awareness helps us to to understand who we are so that we fall in love with ourselves. I have struggled with self-love in the past, especially growing up. I was bullied. I went through a lot of experiences, and eventually I decided I was tired, and I decided to start understanding those things that make me special. And ever since that happened, my life has changed. People keep sharing messages in my DM asking how I'm able to love myself the way I do, because I think they can notice it in the way I write, in the way I behave. So I think, and for me, that has helped me in the relationships that I have had, because in all of them, I have known what I want, you know? Like, it's when you know yourself, you know what works for you really well. And so you are able to detect red flags early. You are able to detect behavior that you cannot stand. It is very important that we pursue self-awareness as individuals so that we can eventually learn to love ourselves. And when we do love ourselves, we can then love other people better. We can have healthier relationships. And then healthier relationships mean, of course, where mental health is very important, where the other person or the other people consider our mental health. If you are able to know that I'm done here, or I can wait a little longer, at the right moment you're able to know I have to move out. So I urge all of us to do those simple things. The way you can work on your self-awareness, you could explore things like journaling, writing down your thoughts, feelings and experiences. Because now when you do that, you're able to notice patterns in your behavior and emotional responses. Yeah, you can Google. Those things are there. You can seek feedback from other people. I am lucky to have very smart friends, the Nabuguzis, the Catherines. They can share with me, for instance. I can ask feedback. Sometimes it's hard to see ourselves clearly. So we asking trusted friends can help to give honest feedback about our behavior so we understand how we behave. We can also set aside time for self-discovery. You could go out and try new things, see what works for you, and then you are able to understand yourself, and then that helps you identify who you are and love yourself, and then have healthier relationships. Otherwise, I would love to thank everyone who has attended this conversation and who have contributed, mostly, of course, our host, and then our Musao. Thank you very much. Let's continue the conversations.
Thank you so much for your contribution, Melvin. And as we close, Banange, let us clap call for our Musao, like Melvin has said. What are the reactions? You can tap the emojis where you can just clap. Ooh, Catherine still has a question.
No, I did not. I meant to clap.
You ended up raising your hand. You used the emojis. Thank you so much, Dr. Agaba, for giving us your time. For those who have missed out on the live recording, you are going to be able to have it tomorrow on, what is it called? On the podcast, Hashtag with Nabuguzi Chiwanuka is where you'll be catching the recorded session. Thank you so much for everyone who has contributed. Thank you, Dr. Dennis. Do have a good night. It will be during day tomorrow.
Thank you very much for having me, and good night.
Night. Thank you so much for joining us to the very end. If you loved, loved, loved this conversation, please hit the subscribe button wherever you have listened to this episode. However, if you have used Google Podcasts, be sure that they are going to be closing business on 2nd April. So you have to log in
to another podcast platform and subscribe to Hashtag with Nabuguzi Chwanka. And be sure to follow us on social media. We are at Hashtag with Nabuguzi on Facebook. No, we are at Hashtag with Nabuguzi Chwanka on Facebook and Instagram. And on Twitter, our handle is at X. On X. It's not nice to talk about X's today. So on X, our handle is at HGNK Podcast. Be sure to follow us, and for whatever views that you have, please tag us. We will be very happy to hear from you. Have a very, very, very wonderful Valentine's Day. Goodbye.